You are listening to Water Online Radio. Coming to you live from Boston, Massachusetts and ACE 2014, uniting in the world of water. This broadcast is brought to you by Water Online Radio, the voice of the water resource and recovery industry, and WaterOnline.com, enabling water and wastewater professionals to make informed decisions. Water Online, now that's clear. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
This is Todd and Todd live from Beantown. Good morning and welcome to Water Online Radio's live day four coverage from ACE 14. Todd, we're getting near the end of our third year of coverage of this great event. Heart is a little sad.
Can't believe it's day four. I cannot believe it's day four. I haven't seen a third of this place yet. I try to run around whenever I get a minute, and there's just too much here to absorb.
Too much amazing stuff. Well, we are very fortunate that we can kick off our final day of coverage with a really exciting guest. Say hello to Todd Hathaway. He's the regional product manager for Hydrotech Filtration and Ectaflow Systems with Kruger Incorporated. Todd, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure's ours. Good to see you. Before we get into our conversation, much to discuss, take a few seconds and give us the 10,000-foot view of Kruger Incorporated. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Yeah, we're a company based in Cary, North Carolina, which is a suburb of Raleigh, Research Triangle Park. A lot of people know that. We've been around for over 25 years in the U.S. We are a company that's part of the Veolia Group. A lot of the folks on the radio listening will know that name. We do wastewater treatment processes and equipment, and we do drinking water. Obviously, since we're here, we have some clarification processes and membrane processes to offer to the market, and I think we're one of the better ones in the game, so that's just me. I'm a little biased.
Just a bit.
Yeah. It's okay to be biased. Yeah. When you got a name like Todd, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, I'm proud to be there, so let's put it that way.
Maybe he was referring to his company.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I get confused sometimes. I think every municipality in the country, make that on the planet,
yeah,
has more things they want to get done than the money to do, particularly with regard to water treatment. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got municipalities laying off teachers and firemen and police officers. So, yeah, you're right. Got to do more with less, but there are things you can do. There are technologies that can provide multiple uses, achieve multiple goals. A lot of manufacturers, you know, here today can do that. And so I think that's one way of doing it. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes you have to make decisions, too. You just have to make hard decisions. What's important? What's the best way to get it done? How much can you invest? And I think for the most part, guys around here, you know, in this country, we do a good job. You know, the operators and staff and municipalities, and they do what they can with what they've got. So,
well, the industry has traditionally been very conservative, very risk-averse. Yep. Because we now have to do more with less, are you starting to see, as you observe the horizon, that
Absolutely. They're
becoming a little bit more interested in moving quicker and adapting new technology and trying new things?
Yes and no. And Kruger, that's what we kind of do. We do innovative technology, so that's kind of our cup of tea. And you're right. I think some folks are saying that, hey, we've got to take a big swing at this. And so in some cases, they're a lot more willing to take on those innovative technologies. In some cases, though, they've like, I've only got so much to spend. You know, I've got to make this work. So I need to get to base. I'm not going to worry about the home run. I just need to get on base and make sure my regulators are happy. So it's give and take, and it depends on the situation, too. If the need is extreme, you know, if they have some very aggressive effluent limits or influent limits, then they may need to be a little bit more aggressive. So
talk about the decision process. I mean, you talked about the need, you know, limited funds. I got to get things done. How do I decide what is the highest priority? I mean, it's easy to run after the coolest and sexiest technology.
Sure.
That may or may not be the right choice. Yeah. So how do I go about that?
Well, obviously, the professionals in this industry, public safety is number one. So they're going to make sure they're producing a drinking water product. In this case, at this show, these guys are going to give a product to the customer that's going to be fit for use. So they're going to make their decisions based on that. A lot of it's got to do with funding. You know, what are they allowed to do? But, you know, it's also future. You know, a little ounce of prevention, you know, provides a lot of benefit down the road, and you're going to pay less for it over the lifespan. So the forward-thinking folks, I think, make the better decisions. You know, don't just think about tomorrow or the day after. What am I going to get hit with in 5 years or 10 years? And there are guys out there. You know, there are a lot of good companies that can help guys and partner with them to achieve those goals.
We'll talk about water scarcity a bit. It's an increasing problem. Yeah. I don't know that the general consumer out there is as aware as they should be as to the severity of this issue, but how is this going to impact municipal operations over the next generation?
I mean, we're already seeing it, been seeing it for years out in the southwest and western part of the country. You know, the populations keep increasing, the water's not increasing, at least fresh water sources. But even in the southeast, you know, the eastern seaboard, you think, hey, all this water, it's green. Well, you know, the town of Raleigh about 5 or 6 years ago, we were down to 30 days in our water supply. So they're having to look, like you mentioned, a lot of the innovative technologies, water reuse, indirect reuse, water reuse, yeah. Looking for alternative sources like brackish water. You know, out in the south, desert southwest, they take that water up and they clean it and use, and you know, using it for use, the public use. So it's driving it. It need drives, need and regulation is what drives this market.
You mentioned the wisdom of keeping an ounce of prevention,
yeah.
kind of a mindset. And when yeah. I think Kruger, I'm guessing maybe you're talking about membranes as part of that
membranes,
part of that
yeah.
thought process.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talk about the membranes a little bit.
You know, that's a product line that you know, it's expensive. It tends to be a little bit higher end, but that's one of those things where you have to look at the total package.
Total cost of ownership.
All right. So the capital cost to buy that membrane system, it may be a little higher than more conventional technologies, but you have to look at it. Installation, you know, it tends to be a smaller footprint, so you're using less space, and it's easier to operate. A lot of operation staff think that membrane systems are complicated. I don't want to mess with that. They're actually simpler. You know, they're a lot more automated. The manufacturers have figured this stuff out. They figured out how to clean it very efficiently. So over the lifespan, when you consider it, it's actually lower cost.
Why is there this false impression that it's complex?
You know, folks are, I'll start out, it's human nature, obviously, you know, but they have a responsibility to their clients. They have to produce and give them a product that's going to be consumable and safe. So when you start talking about taking on that responsibility, you're signing your name to the line of that paperwork every day. You're coming out of your comfort zone's hard. You know, this technology's been doing this for 20 years, you know, 30 years, it works. But, you know, as with the scarcity of water and the need to manage your funds, you have to start thinking outside of the box if you're going to be successful, I think.
Well, what are some other obstacles to overcome to get this more widely adopted? You talk about the false perception of it being complex mm-hmm. and that's not a legitimate issue. Then, but you did mention cost. Mm-hmm. So talk about... All right, so maybe it's a higher front-end cost, but how is that going to reduce cost longer term? Walk us through that.
O&M staff, you know, the people that are working on the plant, you don't need as much of that. Just mechanical failure rates, upkeep, it's less with a membrane system, you know, as long as you maintain it. You know, do your preventative work, again, the ounce of mm-hmm. prevention. And just, I think people are adapting to it. I think people are accepting it now.
Okay.
So I think we've turned the tide there. It's just, you know, it's still... Unfortunately, you know, money has a significant aspect, and so that's a component that we're still overcoming. And, you know, still some guys out there in management positions and all that have been working in the industry for a while, and they know this works, so I'm going to go with this, you know. So it's a lot of things, a lot of factors.
Talk more specifically about applications, particularly one that mm-hmm. might be relatively lower investment, mm-hmm. easier to operate, mm-hmm. lower risk.
Well, I mean, Kruger, we tend to come into the more technically challenging, you know, situations. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, brackish water, you install RO systems with membranes. You know, that's something you have to have that level of treatment of membrane. I guess that's kind of a way to look at it. A membrane is kind of, I don't want to say it's the ultimate treatment process, but it's kind of in that category of, you know, you're going to hit a home run with it. You know,
yep.
it's going to work. So situations that you're concerned with, if you have a need to have virus removal, cryptosporidium Giardia can cause you know, problems with human beings. If you have that on your plate, it's a nice barrier for that. I don't think I answered your question, though. I apologize. I kind of got off loop.
Well, I'm thinking just in terms of applications. If I want to hit that home run, or even
yeah.
just to get a base hit with a membrane, what's a good, relatively risk-free kind of application?
Oh, yeah, like a relatively stable surface water river feed system. You put that membrane in there and keep it functional, keep it operational with maintenance and whatnot, you're going to have 30 years of service right. without having to be concerned about hitting your permits and whatnot. So again, that, you know, it's an easy application, but again, if you can take a couple guys that instead of they're out there working on huge clarifiers and pumps and stuff, and you're just having them come out there and check things and sample things, that's a lot of savings for your owner, but you're yeah. still going to hit the home run.
All right. Well, so you indicate that the tide may be turning. And
yeah, I think it is.
Understanding and the perceptions are changing. So with that said, what are the bigger opportunities? Is it in the municipal space? Is it industrial? Is it
good
both?
Good question. Right now, we would view the industrial market being a lot more committed to the technology. They have money to spend on it, you know, money to them. If they can save that ounce of prevention, they save a few dollars, it pays off huge on the back end for their profits. So definitely the industrial market. But, you know, you go out in the Southwest, Texas, Arizona, you know, they need it. It's getting to the point where, hey, it's not whether or not I want it, we need it. So there's going to be opportunities there. And the forward thinkers, you know, the folks that, hey, I'm going to invest a little bit more. I'm going to take some heat from my ratepayers. I'm going to take a little heat from the council members. But, you know, I got to convince them that this is an investment. It's an investment for the future.
Mm-hmm. Kruger's a fixture here at Ace. Talk a little bit about the show, the value to you, and, mm-hmm. and the kind of things your customers are learning.
Well, it's a great opportunity. We use it on many levels. Obviously, first and foremost, we're meeting our customers. You know, the end users, the operators, the plant managers, then, of course, the consultants that work for those guys and help them make these tough decisions that they're making. So we get to interact with them and entertain them, and you get to know them, build relationships. And then there's even a function within us vendors. You know, we have vendors that come to us, you know, that we interface with. You know, we have representatives that work for us in the different regions. We get to spend time with them. So it's a good time to come together and see old friends and you know, get to hang out with you guys.
Well, that's the most important.
That is the highlight.
Really. But we are on day four. So what did you principally showcase here, and how did it go over?
We have two primary products that we offer to the drinking water market. It's the ActiFlow systems. That's a high rate clarifier, ballasted flocculation. It's a very small footprint. It's still innovative. It's been around a while now, but you know, we're adding things like we've taken what is considered to be a kind of an accepted technology, and we've thrown activated carbon on the front. You know, so we can absorb disinfection byproducts and lower TOC and whatnot. So that's an innovation with the product. And then membranes. We have a drinking water membrane that we like to package with our ActiFlow. ActiFlow is the pretreatment. We go to the membrane, and you know, that's actually something that we do that not many guys do. We take on that full responsibility, the pretreatment as well as the membrane for the final product.
Todd, you've got that engineer DNA.
Yeah.
And I know there's something lurking in the back of your head that you're saying, this is going to be really, really big 2-3 years from now.
Yeah.
What's lurking in the brain of yours?
Well, I think from an application standpoint, I mentioned disinfection byproducts, TOC and whatnot. That's kind of hitting us now. But down the road, and it's I guess it's called emerging constituents. I think I used the right term. I apologize to the guys out there. But endocrine disruptors, you know, ibuprofen, birth control, that's water soluble. So when you use those products, they tend to kind of wash through you and they wind up out in the ecosystem. So we're seeing amphibian populations with unbalanced sexes and I don't know about mutations, but definitely there's an impact on the environment. So I think that's going to be an area in the future that we're going to be attacking as an industry.
All right. Well, that's pretty exciting. All right. Well, Todd, I hate to say it, but we are about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people learn more about Kruger Incorporated?
KrugerUSA.com, obviously. You can visit us there. You can come by our booth over here at the show. If you're still at the show, we'd be glad to meet with you. And we have a really good rep force out there, and I think we do a good job of getting there and seeing you guys. So just contact us, and we'll be glad to show up and help you out with your problems.
Outstanding. Todd Hathaway, the Regional Product Manager for Hydrotech Filtration and ActiFlow Systems with Kruger Incorporated. Todd, good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Todd.
It was fun.
All right. Good luck to you. All right. Well, that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of all of us at Water Online, this is Todd and Todd, Water Online Radio's live coverage from H14. We'll be right back.